You are listening to the Frilla Bros Tech Podcast, episode 76, Sim Podcast.
And then the other one, this one was kind of interesting. I'm saving this one to last because I'm hoping nobody's listening by this point, because I feel like what this is going to become is a what am I doing with my life, and this is going to be strategizing what comes next.
Okay.
And it has to do with a couple of conversations that we've had this last week. I feel like this is one of those weeks. You and I, like, you know, all human beings go through like biological cycles where like their brains work at different levels over different times, and you're like motivated to do for different things. And I feel like you and I coalesced on the, okay, it's time to go do something, change the world, be entrepreneurs, like at the same moment. Mm-hmm. And this article popped right as it was happening. Basically what this is, there's a, I'll just read the first paragraph or so. All right, class, here's your homework assignment. Devise an app, get people to use it, repeat. That was the task for some Stanford students in fall 2007 in what became known here as the Facebook class. No one expected what happened next. And basically what this article goes into describe is the story of this teacher and these students. And basically what they did was they went through and they built a bunch of apps, and they had to like, and it follows a couple of them and like how they built it and how they would go out and they would build these apps just to have something out there. Then they would build the app and people would start using it. And they found that as people started using it, they'd get users, and then eventually they throw ads onto there. And all of a sudden they're making thousands of dollars a month. And the app starts to explode. VC money comes in, and there's a story. One of the students has this like short story where he's like, "Yeah, there was a day where I was just sitting there, and I was talking to my dad, and he goes, we're working on the app. We're doing this, this, and this. We've got investors coming tomorrow. We've got this going on. And I have a paper for my class that I have to write tonight." I goes, "I don't have time for all of this." And his dad goes, "Why are you still in class?" What? And he goes, "Why don't you just drop out and do this giant, and you can always go back to school. You're making tons of money." And like, I was like, that's a good idea. And like ended up developing an app that sold for, you know, like seven figures. You know, pretty well. But what they talked about was this idea of, it started this article. Yeah. In one part, it's a biopic talking about people and how they developed this class and how they developed these apps. One of the interesting ones was there's these guys, they had to do they built this app, and it was called Hotness, and it was allowed you to rate the hotness of your friends.
Okay. Hotter
than that. And they were like, they built this great app, and like two or three days before their like big presentation and like they launched the app, they deleted all the code, and so they had to rebuild the app.
What?
Like,
no!
Bare bones, just super bare bones.
No.
And in like 3 days, they like present the app to class. It's completely bare bones, and they push it on the app store, and like 3 weeks later had, like, it was something like ridiculous, like tens of thousands of,
oh my
of
gosh,
users. And they were like, and basically what ended up happening is what started as this like complete disaster forced them to focus on only the features that were needed. Mm. So I had like four features, and that was it. And that's what people loved. They were like super simple, but they also like, they really pioneered this idea of the lean startup. The idea that you don't
need investors. Oh, I want to buy that book so bad.
I know. And you don't need investors. You don't need a lot to do this. You come up with the idea and you just start sprinting towards an end product. And it doesn't matter that you don't have all the features. It doesn't matter that it's buggy. Hmm. It doesn't matter that it doesn't work. It doesn't matter. You just get your user base and you fix it as it comes on. And I'm going to give you an example right now of an app that drives me crazy, because this is exactly what they're doing. It's called Phrase Friend Free. I'm Matthew Dean, if you want to play against me. It's pretty fun. It is an atrocious app. It is the most glitchy app I have ever seen. And all it is Wheel of Fortune that you can play with friends. It's so much fun. I can't even stand it. It's like the only social game that I'll like stomach. And I will put up with it, and I do not put up with glitchy apps. And I put up with it because it's actually fun. And it's just crazy to me, because I'm like, this is the perfect example. Somebody said, you know what we should do? We should make a Wheel of Fortune game. We should call it Phrase Friends Free, and like, you know, and add to that suite of like Words with Friends free or Dice free. Of like, mm-hmm. And it's this other company, and they came up with the idea, and it's doing fantastic. It's doing great. And it like sometimes it will crash so bad that the only way to get it to work is to delete it and to re-download it from the App Store.
What?
And you want to know what? I've re-downloaded it 4 times. That's how much I enjoy this game. And wow. It's actually they've had a couple of updates, and it's way more stable now. But
yeah, my you're point really was, selling it.
I can say, and my point on all of this was the fact that, much to my like dismay, like that's exactly what this is. Somebody came up with an idea and brought it to market as fast as humanly possible, and it didn't matter that it's terrible. It's not SimCity, or I should say, SimCity is a great example of this. They worked on the core mechanic. They got the core mechanic done, mm-hmm. and then once they had that like locked on how the actual city balancing works, they sprinted to the launch. They sprinted through the graphics. They sprinted through the servers. They sprinted through the DRM. They sprinted through everything, and nothing works except the core game mechanic, and it's great.
And it's amazing.
And
okay. All right.
We all went out and bought it, and we're all putting up with it, even though it doesn't work. Yeah, because the core idea is good. So this is where I come into like I've got these ideas, and you and I talk about this every once in a while.
Dude, I have so before you even go there, I have thought of like, and I think this was proposed once, and I just don't know why they do it. But why don't business schools team up with the programming, departments, and you know what I mean, and be like, here's your senior project, you know, and at least for business school, it's like here's an opportunity for you to practice working with, other skilled people, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? I would love to see, like, you know, so I went to, if my MBA program were like, hey, it's an app class, and with the part of the MBA's job is to come up with, do the market research, figure out what's fun, whatever, and collaborate with a set of software engineers who are in an app class in their CS department, and it's one class, and you meet regularly, and you have meetings, and you strategize, and you come up with ideas, and the whole goal at the end of the semester is you launch an app, and your grade is perhaps based on how many users you have, or you pick a metric.
All right. That
could be interesting. So there's a little bit of pressure. It's got to do good. And if you totally fall flat, you will fail this class. That is a potential here.
you sit there and you go,
class.
Yeah, you sit there and go, that's a great idea. You know, I took an app building class last semester, and for a number of reasons, I ended up actually having to take an incomplete on the class. And part of it was my teacher got breast cancer and that sort of threw the whole class for a loop. Yeah. But along with changing work conditions and more responsibility and more time, it just became obvious that it wasn't something I was going to be able to do. But her big thing was she wanted us to build an app. And I was very much taking the class on the premise of I want to learn how to program apps. Like, I'm not going to build an app in this class. Are you kidding me? And reading this article, I'm like, I am such an idiot. Like, I get it now. I get what she was trying to get us to do. And she just never told us, look, this is what happens. Students get in classes, they take a semester, they build an app, and then they become millionaires. And oftentimes, oftentimes nothing comes of it. Nothing more than like a small stream of income. But every once in a while, it becomes huge. If you actually have a good idea, and you can simplify it down to the core mechanic and just get rid of all the other garbage. You know, it's like, I keep asking this question to myself, like, why are there no high-end games for the iPad? Like, why are, like, specifically real-time strategies? I feel like real-time strategy is the perfect game for an iPad, especially a full-sized one, because, you know, you get into all your feature sets. That's how the game is played. I mean, it's a flat screen. And, you know, it doesn't require, you know, a lot of people say it requires a keyboard, but I completely disagree. And I just sit there and I go, like, why not do that? And the reason why is because if you're going to build a decent game with decent graphics, it requires way more capital. And nobody's doing that right now.
Right.
And because that's not how you make money with apps.
Which is why you sit there and it's like with SimCity, they've already invested in the infrastructure to make Glassbox work. And if it's really all on a server, then all they need to do is transfer the graphics over to it. Similar to that, from what I understand, that's what they're doing with the Mac. And that's why they were like, we spent all this time on Glassbox. We released it for the PC, which is why they were able to do it for the Mac in in less than a year, and I would love to see in another year or, you know, less than a year, then they roll it out for the iPhone. And like, and what would be awesome is single origin account. Doesn't matter. You can transfer your city and play on any platform. Right.
You can take your city with you on your iPad and come back home and then play on.
You know, and that would work because it's all based on the servers, right? They don't have to try to rewrite the code for their for the core feature, the simulation, you know, for Glassbox.
Right.
You know, now it's really just let's get the Windows right and make sure we get the user interface working properly, because there's no typing in SimCity either, so it'd be perfect. But interesting.
This whole thing is really driving me crazy because I'm suddenly realizing that like I have good ideas, and sometimes, and in some cases, I've even put in a tremendous amount of time and effort into building the core idea, and just haven't sprinted to the finish line on the premise of I'll fix it when I get there. And or you know, I finish one, so the race is over because you just got to get there as fast as you can.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm sitting here, and it's like, you know, I talk about this like the, you know, this week. This is where I hope people aren't listening. You know, this week we talked about the idea of, you know, we should have a phone number name server instead of your domain name servers, where we get rid of phone numbers. Why do we have phone numbers anymore? It drives me crazy. Come out with a server and an app and just sprint to the finish line on this and say, this is what we're doing. And honestly, you know, I come back to the idea of like, I still think you do a Kickstarter project, but the only reason why you do a Kickstarter project is because as good as they are for raising money, they're way better for raising your Q factor. They're way better for getting people to notice you and to pay attention and to get invested literally more than just financially, but emotionally in your project. Well, I paid money, so of course I'm going to use it and download the app. Like, why wouldn't I? I invested in it. And I think that I really believe that, at this point, man, I got to get my, you know, and we talk about doing something more with this show. Taking another step, and we ask the question, well, how do you get developers? What do we need to do? And we try to get all of our ducks in a row before we just start sprinting for. We try to figure out where the end zone is and what course we're going to take to get there. When the reality of it is that, like, the people who are succeeding because they just start running. You know, like, I think that's where the end zone is, so I'm just going to go as fast as I can. And I don't know. It's an interesting. It's the game has changed in a large, you know, capacity, and I want to acknowledge that with how I act. I don't know. Got to be, you know, we talked about.
Well, I know what to get you now for your next birthday.
Okay. That is 6 months from now, so.
I know. I should get it to you earlier.
Well, or you could just tell me what it is and I can.
Well, there's two books that I would get you for your birthday.
Yeah.
The first one is actually probably called The Lean Startup.
Yeah.
How today's entrepreneurs use continuous innovation to create radically successful businesses by Eric Ries. And then the other one is The $100 Startup. Reinvent the way you make a living. Do what you love and create a new future. By Chris Gullabaloo. That can't be right. I probably said that wrong.
Probably.
That's what it looks like. But those are two books that are currently sitting on my wish list that I would not mind buying. That are obviously focused on that concept and, you know, this idea that, no, you don't have to get crazy and have everything figured out. There's a lot of value, which I agree. I fall into that same trap. I like to have everything perfect before I share it. And it's hard. It's hard to let that go.
Yeah.
But there you go, man. Interessante. Oh, I got sucked into my wish list. I shouldn't do that.
I would say you are like zoned out, man. Like I know we're close to the end of the show, but
I got a good wish list. Let me just say, you know, you talk about how you got a good curated Pandora station. Yeah. I got a good curated wish list. Like, oh, this is a great book. Oh, I want to read that one too. Oh yeah, this one. I read the reviews on this and this was fantastic.
That's awesome.
I've got all these books. Yeah. That I made it a goal to actually read more books, like not just audiobooks, but actually read physical, like written text, and not just articles either, because I do have a burgeoning wish list that I would love to get through, and someday I would like to get an iPad, and I would love for that to be a great excuse. Oh, it's because I read books, and now I can use it to read.
You know, it's funny. I actually read more after I got my Kindle Fire, my Kindle Paperwhite, because, you know, how do you, I mean, like, and I've always been kind of a big reader, like an actual reader, but I read more now because I have this device that I feel like I have to justify the cost of. But, they're nice, man. They're super nice. I actually really, I was a naysayer on the ebook reader for a while. For a long while. I think the Paperwhite is uniquely different in that it actually works in all light, makes it awesome. But,
I understand. I actually have a friend who did a lot of reading on the iPad and ended up buying a Paperwhite because he was doing too much reading for the iPad and was having to stop because of the eye strain. And he's like, now he can go much longer on the Paperwhite.
Oh yeah. I've sat and read for 4 or 5 hours. And the best part is I only charge it once every 2 books.
Yeah, that's cool. So yeah, books are awesome. I agree. So before we wrap it up, I wanted to cover one last one. Okay.
Tell me that.
Since I have nowhere to go, I'm cool with going over. Palo Alto, there is Friend Trend. I'm going to read this article. It's a new social media startup that branded itself as a fun, intuitive way to connect and share with friends online. It celebrated its long-awaited launch at 9 a.m. this morning, shuttering its doors later this morning at 9:45 a.m.
Wait, say that one more time?
Sure. Friend Trend, is a new social media startup that is a fun and intuitive way to connect and share with friends online. Yeah. Okay. It launched at 9 a.m. in the morning and shuttered its doors later that morning at 9:45 a.m.
Okay. 45 minutes later.
It's the brainchild of tech developer Greg Nisham, who is 36. Friend Trend was designed to be a virtual community for friends and acquaintances to interact using live chat and photo sharing features, a service the site provided for exactly 45 minutes before the company liquidated all of its assets. And then he goes on to say, the site just didn't catch on. What can I say?
What?
He launched excitedly with the tagline, get ready for the next wave in social media. He goes, I posted some videos and messages on my little Friend Trend pod, as we call them, but there were only like 5 or 6 other users and they all worked for the company. So I was like, this is lame. So this article might have been on The Onion.
I was gonna say this is an Onion article, right?
Yeah, and then I love how during a candid postmortem 10 minutes after the site had been removed and an hour after it had been launched, he cited myriad difficulties with the site's first 15 to 20 minutes, including logistical hurdles, a stubborn market share, and administrative hassles. Yeah, I love this quote. Within 52 seconds of the site's launch, you could tell things weren't looking good. And after 30 minutes, I figured, all right, let's just give it 15 more minutes. And if it hasn't taken off by then, forget it.
That's hilarious.
You attempted to sell the company with outside investors, and it just didn't work.
Just didn't work.
But, dude, The Onion, so awesome. Friend Trend. And it's spelled, friend is spelled without an I, by the way.
Of course.
The Onion. Gotta love it.
That's so funny, man.
It just feels that way sometimes, doesn't it? Man, these things pop up like little fruit flies, and then they're done.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's funny. Do you still use Path?
No, not really.
Yeah, see, I have a friend who works for PATH, and that was, like, the first time I had thought about it.
Wow.
Like, yeah, and I was like, whoa! And I had to, like, I realized I was about to go on, like, this is why I don't use it, like, tirade. I'm like, I don't need to do that right now. Not when you work there. I'm a nicer person than that. this is why your career is stupid and you're going to be out of a job soon. And actually the biggest problem with PATH is that nobody uses it, ironically. but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, yeah.
But that's what that is all about, right? I mean, it's just these, like, that's the joke of it, is it's all about the speed at which you can do it. And if it's not fast enough, it's not even worth it. And they do pop so quick. Oh man.
I think part of it, there is this hope for some of the startups where, like, we'll launch something, it will be amazing, and then we'll get bought out, you know, a couple months later, and it'll all be good.
Right.
We'll retire millionaires and then make the startup we really wanted.
Right, which, you know, is true if you have a great product.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Anyways, that's my note that we'll leave it on. With that, I really do have a city that needs its mayor.
Yeah.
To figure out the budgetary problems and fix some of the transportation woes that are going on or something.
Fair enough.
I'll figure it out. But hey, man, it has been awesome. Everyone else, thank you for joining us. I am James Furlow, and my fellow mayor is Matthew Furlow. And so we will talk next time. Thank you.